Okay. That felt good. For those of you who didn't see the video about the healing wolf online, I highly recommend it. It kind of well, it touched me very deeply, and it fits right in with Pax when I said anybody else, because it really is for me about bringing us to this place of peace within ourselves, peace within each other. I mean, peace within ourselves, peace with each other, and peace with all of life, which includes the animals, which includes the plant life, which includes the trees, which includes all of nature, because we truly, all of these things going on in the earth, all of the cyclones, all of the storms, all of those things are going on internally within us. It is very much the macrocosm and the microcosm. So for me, it's about bringing peace and awareness to all of that and that sense of connectedness so that we consciously act in harmony with our environment in every single moment as it occurs.
And the thing about peace that is really important to bring in is that part of that peace is coming into that deep place of acceptance. That acceptance of who you really are, even in the places that you perceive that you're flawed or not good enough.
Yeah.
Because when you're in that place of acceptance and you let the barriers down, then you can really stand in your strength. Because it's the place of strength that allows, place of strength and acceptance that allows you to come into the place of peace and be open to standing in who you really are and open to receiving the love that you really, really desire and be able to give it as well.
And for me, that means to feel it within yourself, because you can't give it if you don't feel it. If you
Exactly.
don't know what it feels like, you can't possibly give it.
And that's part of the place of acceptance. Because if we're in this place of judging ourselves over and over and over and over again, we can't really deeply love ourselves.
So that's beautiful, actually, Teresa. So for it sounds like, and it feels like what you just said, correct me if I'm wrong, is that we begin with acceptance.
Yes, we begin with accepting.
And with it, then with acceptance comes that deep feeling of love for ourselves.
Yes. Yes.
Beautiful. And I was listening to, I put a post for the I Ching, and I actually listened to the recording. One of the things he said was so beautiful to me, and I'm sure I will misquote it, but let me see if I can kind of bring it out there. But basically what he was saying was, you need to love yourself first and foremost, because you need to have a solid presence. If you don't have a solid presence, then people just walk right through you.
Yes, and they won't hear you, and they won't listen, and they won't see you. That's part
Exactly.
of walking right through you, and that's why we have to love ourselves first.
Yes. It feels like we've begun the session. I
We have.
love it. So anybody else's, feel free to interject and add. I haven't muted everybody yet. It feels like it's quiet enough that I can keep that down. I will mute everybody if it gets too noisy. Or you can just keep yourself muted at star six and then unmute at star six. So it feels like it's a lot about self-love right now. A lot of people sent in requests about divine timing. Mm-hmm. And I totally resonate with that. And yet it feels like it's very much linked to this self-love and the divine timing and being able to perceive. Okay, it feels like I am going to mute. So I'm going to mute everybody, and you guys, star six yourselves if you actually want to say something, okay? So don't feel like you can't say something. If you feel called to say something, unmute yourself and say it, okay? But for right now, I'm going to mute everybody. Good. Teresa, you did unmute yourself. Perfect.
Yes.
Okay, so it feels very much like what I'm seeing is this big, giant heart right now, which to me is beautiful because of the energy I've been feeling all week. It really is about self-love. It is about meeting ourselves. Probably for the very first time, meeting ourselves and coming to this place of total acceptance and total abandonment, actually, but abandonment in a way that is not about leaving yourself. It's about abandonment, just total vulnerability, totally opening up and just throwing off all of the shackles, throwing off all of the barriers, throwing off the past in a way not to like throw the baby out with the bathwater, but throwing at the past in regards to the control and the repetitious patterns that we tend to keep recreating from the shackles of the past. It's about throwing that off. It actually looks like a big coat, and it has all of these shackles, all these chains in the back, and it actually feels like the shackles are like along the back of the spine. So it's all these shackles are in the back. So it's the spine and the back of the arms and all the joints, and it feels like a bit like a puppet. And it's like as we take off that coat and all of those shackles, we just leave them behind us and let them be, and for them to be collected by energies that we don't need to concern ourselves with. And we get to walk more freely, more gently, more peacefully into the future, being present with every single step we take. And it's interesting because as I see us taking these steps, it actually feels like slow motion, which I'm sure many of us have felt recently. I know I have. Actually, not even recently, all my life, it's kind of felt like, okay, I'm walking through mud. Ooh. But that's not the image here. The image is more like slow-mo, which means more conscious awareness of actually being able to clearly move in a way that makes us aware of our steps and our actions. And even the actions that we quote unquote feel are mistakes, they're like slowed down as well for our perception. So it feels to me like a program being set into motion and into place that allows us to review our actions almost simultaneously as we're acting. And as that occurs, doesn't mean we won't make mistakes. Of course we'll make mistakes. But what it means is we'll review them in a conscious way, and that allows us to see more clearly, experience more clearly, perceive more clearly, so that we can just take a different step next time. And it takes a bit of the charge out of self-flagellation and having to whip ourselves every time we screw up. Go ahead, Teresa.
And the thing is that this relates directly to that self-flagellation that you were just talking about, every time we screw up. And the thing is, we will perceive it as screwing up, but in reality, it's it's like the universe is in God's way of saying, I want you to get this at a deeper level.
Yes.
And that's not a cop-out, and that's not a way of making an excuse for it, because but we are here, we come into this world with certain lessons that we deeply desire to learn at a soul's level. But the biggest lesson is the lesson to love ourselves. Mm. And the lesson to realize that we were actually made to have deep desires and to crave deep love and to feel that sense of personal power. That's what we're here for. And so bringing this in, and so each opportunity that's presented to us gives us each experience that is presented to us gives us the opportunity to experience that. And so when you feel the sense of that self-flagellation for whatever it is, it doesn't matter what it is. For some people, it's your relationship with food, or your relationship with loving yourself, or your relationship with giving up your power. Whatever that is, it all comes down to loving yourself and standing in your own power and who you really are, and allowing spirit to move through you in such a deep, deep way that you recognize that you are connected fully with the divine. Because it's when we feel that separation from the divine, that's when we go into the self-flagellation piece. That's when we go into saying, I'm nothing but a screw-up.
Exactly. And I feel this energy that I've just been kind of working with my hands as you were talking, Teresa, and it's like now it feels like it's kind of coming together, and it almost feels like a big boulder. And it feels like we just need to throw it. It's actually like a boulder, but it's not as heavy as we imagine it to be. It's like when I set a boulder, it kind of went, poof, and it was like, oh, very, very heavy. But when I actually totally relaxed into it and quit fighting it, it became almost like the image, it just kind of shows up. It's like it turns into like a bale of hay, and then it turns into a beach ball. So it's kind of like we can morph it into whatever it is we want to morph it. And so it's this beautiful energy that's showing up for us, and we're feeling the heaviness of it instead of diving right in. So I'm going to encourage everybody right now to just see this sphere. I love that. Who is that, Miss Kitty? To feel this sphere, and just imagine this sphere, and imagine how it's felt so heavy all of your life, and then imagine just leaning back and letting it supposedly crush you, but instead you just fold right into it, and you just dive into it, and it kind of just turns into water, and you're swimming in it. Beautiful. Mm-hmm.
So everyone take a moment to really breathe into that place. And this is really important, because one of the things Debbie said is like, you know, that vision of the water. And sometimes when we feel the water, there's a sense of beauty, but sometimes when we feel the water, we feel we're drowning. And so it's all about our perception and how we choose to be in relationship with water. So breathe in this element of water so that we feel ourselves fully breathing within the water. The water element that is cleansing, that is clearing, that allows for the morphing, because the water element is that one element that can be in the air form, that can be in the liquid form, that can be in the solid form. And it's the one element that can take any shape. So breathing into that space of the water element and allowing yourself to experience the water element in a new and different way.
And actually, yes, breathe into that. And as you feel that and as you dive into it,
yes,
imagine you're diving into it and then imagine you are it.
Yes, exactly. That's part of the becoming one with it, so that you're not fighting against it.
And even in that imagery, perhaps you run into another one of us on the call. And so you recognize you're it, you're it. And yet, hey, there's another it. And you're not alone, and we're all swimming it together.
And we're all swimming it together, and sometimes we're along the bank and feeling ourselves being brushed against the bank, bumped against the bank, swirling along the bank, and sometimes we're right in the middle of the free flow. But either way, we're a part of it.
Yes, so imagine you are, yes, and imagine if you're getting bumped up against the bank, imagine it's not like you're getting bashed against the rocks. You're the water, so you're morphing. You're feeling the contours of the bank, brushing against the contours of what you are, the part of the ocean that you are.
Mm-hmm.
And so instead of it feeling harsh, it's like, oh, I touched the bank. The bank touched me.
Yeah.
And then it becomes almost orgasmic.
Mm-hmm.
Which is our... Go ahead. Mm-hmm. Which is our true nature. Bliss.
Yes. And the beauty of that is we get to ride that wave.
Yes. And be the wave at the same time.
And be the wave at the same time.
Well. And what I'm seeing is I'm seeing like endorphins in the body, and they're showing up as sea creatures, like dolphins, whales. I'm even seeing seagrass. And these are just parts of us, and they're internally parts of us. And what we're doing is, what I'm feeling is we're kind of integrating into that to align us to ourselves, to each other, to the earth. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Miss Kitty. That's all right. Yeah. That brought up something. It was a hairball. Thanks, Miss Kitty.
It did.
It's like, oh, we don't need that anymore.
We don't need it anymore at all.
Okay, ironically, we're in water. We are water. I'm encouraging everybody, take a drink of water. I feel very much like we're actually tapping into the elements right now.
That's what I was thinking. This piece about the elements, you know, there's another thing about water that is coming up, that It's like I'm seeing these something icicles, and on the icicles, you know, sometimes we think of that just as cold, but there's this gleaming and dripping and hanging and light reflecting, magical aspect to it that allows us to see the not only experience the flow of water, but the beauty and the magical morphing of water, and then even
the colors.
Way. Yeah, it's like the colors that come through that are so amazing and mysterious, and it links us into the colors of love.
Yes.
You know, there's so many different colors of love, and that's why you can never love too much.
No, and you're going to clarify for that, right? I know you said that on a post, but I would like you to clarify for that on this call.
Yeah, so this place you can never love too much, you know, sometimes people say, oh, I love them too much. You can never actually love too much when it's real love. There's so many colors and variations of love that come through. And the thing that's important to remember is the only time that it appears or feels as if we're loving too much is if it's actually shifted from love into a place of addiction. Because when it comes into the place of addiction, then we lose our sense of self. And yes, in this universal consciousness and this oneness, there is still this thing called individuation.
Yes.
That allows us to have a sense of self, of who we are in this human form, that is what's needed to be able to operate in a really healthy way. Individual doesn't mean we lose the sense of oneness and connection, though. It just means that we know who we are in this form. And
beautiful.
When there is this place of really loving, we don't ever need to lose that sense of self and that sense of individuation. When it goes into the loss of self, that's addiction. And that's performance.
Oh, that's a good way to put it.
It's performance for the sake of acceptance.
Beautifully put.
Because there hasn't been self-acceptance. So you can never love too much. That is pretty well put, isn't it?
You're surprised? I love it. That's beautiful, because when you said that too, I also saw a dog show up. Because dogs truly do love unconditionally, and yet we require them to perform. So one of them showed up to show me that. So.
Mm-hmm.
It's really beautiful with that representation, and yes, that was beautifully put.
Yeah, and you know, in the scriptures, and I say scriptures because it's not, you know, it's all scripture, regardless of what faith that you choose to follow in. That, you know, the scriptures talk about, think about whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable. Anything that's excellent or praiseworthy, think on these things. Because what we think about is what we'll be gravitating towards. If we're only thinking about the things that are keeping us in the hard spots, those will only serve to deepen our feelings of emotional emptiness and separation. So when we're linking into this place of the elements and knowing that we cannot love too much, we're really allowing ourselves to think on that, which is excellent, because that's who we are at our deepest core. That which is pure, that which is lovely, that's who we are at our deepest core. That's our essence.
So it's interesting, as you said that, what I saw was somebody looking in the mirror and seeing a pimple, and looking at the pimple and loving the pimple.
Because the pimple is only what we make it to be.
Exactly. Huh. Don't ask me why that image came up, but it did.
Well, I know I can. My sense is the reason that image came up is because as we look in the mirror, as we reflect on our history, we do get to choose how we define that.
Well, that's a really good segue, because what's showing up for me now is that we are shifting our past. You know, everybody says you can't change the past. Well, that's not true. You can totally change the past. The moment you change your perception of the past, your past has changed. It's almost like these retractable cords that you've been tied up in knots with all of the people in your past, whoever caused you harm that you didn't forgive or you didn't let go of, that you've been holding on to as some sort of part of your identity. The more you hold on to that, the more stress it creates and the more drama and trauma it continues to perpetuate in the present moment, actually into the future, because it doesn't even allow you to be in the present moment. And so the moment you shift your perception around your past, all of those cords kind of tend to disentangle, and it's like you get you back. It's like you're getting pieces of your soul back, and you're giving pieces of that other person's soul back. And in the moment that happens, your past has changed.
Exactly. And it's not about cutting the ties. It's about giving it back.
Exactly. It's about reclaim. It's about claiming what's yours is yours, what's mine is mine.
Yeah, and it just felt like that was really important to make that point clear, because oftentimes we've been taught you just need to sever the link,
yeah,
and you discover the ties. It's not necessarily about that.
No, even if you choose not to be in company with the person that you have disentangled from, that's different than severing. It's like, what kind of energy are you taking your power back with?
Exactly.
Because you really don't fully reclaim your power from a place of woundedness.
You can't.
No, you cannot. So the disentangling only happens from a place of true letting go. It doesn't matter anymore. Yes, it happened. Yes, it was horrible. And yes, it doesn't matter anymore. Because guess what? I'm in charge of me now. I get to decide the steps I take from now, and now what we're doing is setting in motion so that we get to decide from this place of hearing more clearly, feeling more clearly, knowing more clearly, tapping into our senses, removing a lot of the filters around our senses so that we can more clearly get direct information from source instead of through our great-great-grandfather and the government and all of these other things. It's really about directly linking us and moving a lot of those filters that kept us muted from our source.
Mm-hmm.
So we're unmuting our connection to source, to our source.
Hmm. Yeah, and there's something that I need to bring up here, Debbie, because I'm hearing a lot of but you don't know my story.
I know, go ahead.
Mine's different. You know, I'm hearing a lot of that right now coming through.
I hear it too. Go ahead.
And I just need to call that out.
Good. Good. And just so everybody knows, nobody's negating anybody's story.
Nobody's negating anybody's story. And this is very, very important, because this is going to kind of create like a dichotomy, okay, the way I'm going to say this, but it feels like it's important how I'm going to say it.
Then so say it.
But I think you're going to help clarify this, okay?
Okay.
But it's almost like we have to invite the opportunity to be unsettled. Because the "but you don't know my story" is the place where we have settled.
Absolutely. Ooh, that's beautifully put, because, you know, have you ever heard don't settle?
Exactly. So it's like it's like our new mantra or new prayer has to be unsettle me.
Unsettle me from these ties from the past.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's beautifully put.
And this is so important, because when we become unsettled, then we get to unearth the remnants of unforgiveness.
It's beautifully
put. When we become unsettled. We get to shake loose those justifications for compromising who we are. When we get unsettled, we get to reveal the parts inside of us that are really being held by pride.
Which is not true pride, by the way.
No, it's not true pride. It's the pride that's related to ego.
Okay, Crystal is here. You didn't get to meet her because I mentioned her before you came on board, I think. She's sitting across from me where Norman usually sits. And she wrote down, unsettle me so I can flow with and as divine source.
Exactly. That's beautiful because when we become unsettled, we expose the tendencies to distrust and can drop into the place of surrendering.
Yes. And that's beautiful that you say this, too, because so many of us, and I feel the energy of many of the people on the call and in the world, actually. So many people in the world are saying, I just need stability. I just need to be stable. And yet that stability would be coming from that place that you're talking about.
Exactly.
And so it's really about letting go of that idea of stability from what we have known in the past and being totally open to and trusting to connecting to what we know is true stability is source.
Exactly. It's like saying goodbye to shallow love.
Ooh, I love that.
Because that's part of the love that we think is love, but it's not really.
That is
saying that goodbye to shallow love and suspicious fears and the unsettling and settling to those things.
And that is so beautiful. And with that, I need to share what I came up with this week. Well, what came to me this week. I don't want to say I came up with it, but all of a sudden I started sharing thank you from the bottom of my heart. And I was like, why am I saying that? I never say that. And so I looked it up. And the saying comes from Archimedes in ancient Greece. And he hypothesized, and I get this, in ancient Greece, he hypothesized, they knew so much without being told, that the brain channels the blood and the heart does all the thinking and feeling. And if you want to say thank you in a very deep and meaningful way, or if you want to love in a very deep and meaningful way, you would say thank you from the bottom of my heart, because that is where the most meaningful feelings were supposed to be. So what you just said about letting go of shallow love, whew, gives me goosebumps. It's beautiful.
It's perfectly connected.
So true. Because how many of you on the call are so over shallow love? That's what we just did with the water when we dove deep into the water and we started merging with the water. That's what we were doing. We were merging with our souls and merging with ourselves and merging with each other so that we could go deep and not deep in a, oh my God, stuck in quicksand kind of way, deep in a, oh my God, kind of way. As in, whew, divine love.
Oof. Divine love.
Divine love. And that taps us in. Let's all tap that in, actually. Let's tap our heads and hearts with tapping that in. And while we're tapping, we're going to take that divine love, that image of being water and connecting with one another, and we're going to step into our lives in a way that allows us to act from that place, that deep, deep knowing place, that deep, divine I am space, where it doesn't matter what ripples are going on around us, there is that sense of, whew, I am settled. In my unsettledness, I am settled in my soul. beautiful. And I see like this whirling vortex, and what I'm seeing is this whirling vortex coming out of our collective, and it's coming out like a whirling vortex, and it really does have to do with forgiveness. It really does have to do with those stirrings and those ties and those bindings that are still kind of hooked on some of us that are saying, thank you, that are saying basically, but. So that whirling vortex is going through us, through each and every one of us, and through us as a collective, to just kind of take those buts along with it. And it's not that things didn't happen. It's not that we didn't have a hard life. It's not that we didn't have parents that didn't know how to parent. It's not that we didn't have somebody abuse us or something abuse us. It's not that we didn't lose somebody. It's just those buts are no longer pertinent to the moment. And they're holding us back from the moving of forward. Mm-hmm. So this whirling vortex is coming through as a cleansing vortex to just kind of clean all of those butts out of our fields. It won't take any of them that somebody really refuses to let go of, but it will take any of them that you are willing to give it. So I highly recommend give it what you're willing to give it and just let it take it away. And even if you have a few buts there, which I'm sure we all do, then it doesn't matter because you're a lot freer than you were. And the other buts will dissolve and be taken away when we're ready to let them go.
Exactly. And the thing about surrendering the buts.
I know. That's a technical term. I can't help it. That's
I know. The thing about that is that we're also surrendering the need to hold on to the roles, the identity.
The need to hold on to them, and yet not the ability to put them on when
exactly.
we need them.
Well, but see, the difference is it's not about ever needing to put on an identity. We can play a role without carrying the identity.
Absolutely. I see big closets for everybody. I love it because I don't have closet space at home, and I'd love to have lots of closet space. Lots of closet spaces for roles where you can put on the clothes as you need them. And when I say as you need them, it just means situationally. It doesn't mean I need them. Doesn't mean I identify with them. It just fulfills a need in the moment. And in the greater picture, in the greater whole. In other words, in the moment and in the tapestry of all of creation. Because I really am seeing like sacred geometry right now. Like this web of life. Again, like this geodesic ball, flower of life kind of energy coming through that's basically a patterning, a weaving of moment to moment to moment. It's almost like an energetic archive. That retains everything we need from the past so we don't have to carry it with
exactly.
us. We don't have to carry it with us. We have access to it without having to bear the weight of it. Wow, thank you.
And there's a piece coming in here that part of the loving of yourself is just every day finding a way to say yes to you.
Yes.
Every day finding even another way to say yes to you. And then every day finding a third and a fourth and a fifth way to say yes to you. Until you're always saying yes.
Yes.
And one of the key things about saying yes is that We don't always realize this or take this into consideration, and I think this is important to say. Sometimes we have to say no in order to make place for our yeses.
I'm going to say yes again.
And sometimes that no, sometimes we don't say no because we're afraid we're going to be taking away from or diminishing from another person. And yet our no, when it makes place for our yeses, it serves everybody.
Absolutely.
Everybody.
Absolutely.
And so being able to say your no's to make places for your yeses shamelessly and guiltlessly is a huge part of surrendering to love more.
And it's okay to say it shamelessly. You just don't want to hold on to it. Because that
right,
goes back
exactly.
to being okay in the present, because it's kind of like we're in a learning curve here.
We are.
It's not like beating ourselves up because we can't let it go shamelessly. Okay, I feel shame. And so instead of burying the shame and thinking about it all the time, instead you just acknowledge, okay, I feel shame. And then the shame is like, oh, she recognized me. He recognized me. I don't have to hang around and linger around and tap him on the shoulder and remind him, I'm here. You should be ashamed of yourself.
Here.
Yeah. There's some of that. And then there was another component we need to clear away too. And I'm seeing this energetically around the saying no, because there is an energy. I feel some thoughts around, if I say no to what's offered to me, then I'm rejecting what the universe is offering to me. And I may be causing myself harm or shutting down the flow of the universe. And it's not true. If you're coming from a clear sense of, that's not for me, then that's you clearing your path and saying, okay, you get another choice. It's not that there are limited options. The options are limitless. Options are limitless. And it's really about coming to this place of recognize it's limitless. And all you have to do is show up and decide, is that really for me? Who's this? Go ahead.
It only means no at this time. It doesn't mean that a yes can't come later to the same question.
Yay, Andy. Welcome.
Hi.
Hi.
Sorry, I just got home from a basketball tournament and realized, I'm like, oh my gosh, it's almost too late.
No, never too late. Never too late.
Perfect timing.
It was perfect timing. That's almost like it goes right along the lines of what we were just saying. You can say no because it wasn't for you right now.
Yeah, now I can say yes.
Yes.
Exactly. Perfect.
I love it. Oh. Nice. So. Go ahead. You can say that out loud. Crystal's like. Crystal says, go ahead. I'm not going to say it for you. You say it.
That it's okay to say no, but not to the urgings of our soul. It's really important at this time to say yes to all the urgings of our soul and those things that we try to deny but we know are true. We can feel that when we say yes to our soul, the ignition of fire within expands out, melting all of the ice that we've built around to protect ourselves and allowing us to flow into that natural water state even more.
Mm-hmm. Hence the element of fire. Beautiful.
Hence the element of fire.
Thank you.
The thing about the element of fire that I love is it really creates there's a couple things here that's coming up around this. The element of fire really creates a lot of expansion.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we say no, when we're saying no to something, we're feeling expansive, and we're making more space for the universe to bring us exactly what we really desire and crave.
Right, and desire is heart. True heart's desire is not a bad thing. It's actually necessary.
It's essential.
Yeah, contrary to what we've been taught, people, your heart's desire is worthwhile and will be fulfilled if we let it. If we choose it.
The universe can't give you what you want until you know what to ask for and how to ask for it.
Well, it's in and choose it. Choose it. We have to choose
it. And allow it, yeah.
And the beautiful thing about fire, too, and this is really from a shamanic perspective, it feels really important to bring this in, is that the fire element is there. Anything that you put into the fire, it gets broken down into its purest place of organicity so that it can be transmuted into something really amazing and beautiful.
Beautiful. It's a purification, a clarity, a returning, a remembrance. It's beautiful. Let's just all take that in. Actually, let's tap that in.
Tap it in.
Everybody, touch your heart. Touch your heart. Feel, and when you're touching your heart, feel your heart. Feel your body, no matter what's going on with your body. And feel that you love your body, that you love your life. And don't beat yourself up, no matter how it shows up. Just feel what you can feel and feel your heart. Breathe into your heart. And feel the pilot light of your heart brighten until it gets so full, it's filled your whole heart. And then it radiates out into the world like a beacon for all those other radiating hearts from a place of love and passion and true desire. Not playboy desire, true desire. Because that is what lights up what I see are everybody's hearts lighting up and then beaming out and reaching the other hearts and then a prism or a ray coming off from them to where all of these lights are connecting. And there's so much love. There's so much love in the world, and we forget that. There's so much love in the world, and we just get lost. And so these lights are beacons to keep us connected. It's like turning on your heart light so that you can feel the other heart lights.
No doubt.
Doubt?
Doubt, trusting your heart. Again.
Mm-hmm.
Feels like our hearts are being upgraded now.
Thank you, they are.
So there's a lot of desire that's
based on the past.
You know, we're doubting our hearts and how to move forward. in a lot of ways because of decisions that we feel have caused us pain before.
Very true.
So I think there's a fear for a lot of us around radiating right now for the just with hesitation.
That's okay.
Yeah.
Hesitation is okay. So just keep focusing on the light. The light within your heart. And actually, don't try to force the light out. Just feel it when it radiates out. Because a lot of our heart's desires aren't really our heart's desires. They're our past programming telling us what we should be desiring.
Mm-hmm. It's like a secondary matrix that needs to be merged. So yep. There's like our true heart's desire and then our programmed or what other people expect or, you know, all those other things. And it's not necessarily getting rid of the false, heart's desire, so to speak. It's merging the two and allowing the unnecessary aspects to fall away.
Yes. So this is a plug-in and a program being put in place to upgrade our hearts and to connect us to that radiating true heart's desire and allow the other to dissipate. To become clearly, actually, they dissipate much like that fire that Teresa just talked about. When we put them in the fire, it's not about causing them harm. It's about letting them transmute into an energy that serves more from its true source.
That naturally brings us alive versus something we feel like we have to force at all.
Yes.
That when we are in alignment with our true heart's desire, it's something
that pulls us forward.
Yeah, it's something that almost feels it's that we become in love with the unfolding of it, because it's moving us rather than us trying to move things forward. It's letting go of that control once again and really stepping into the surrender of this divine feminine force that's so brilliantly breaking herself free to create the shifts all around us right now. It doesn't feel like it did before. It feels... But I think our responsibility is really in knowing that we can trust it. There's something so beautiful when the force is gone. It almost brings us to tears, but they're tears of joy. It's the space where miracles can unfold and we step one foot forth and we're met 1,000 times. Just in that courage to surrender to letting the heart bring herself alive.
It goes back to that no and yes stuff too. It's like allowing us to say no to the old programming that you thought was the right programming to allow the yes of the other part of that to come in.
And it feels like the fire is coming in to transmute, to transform that old programming in a way that, like the light, shows up to highlight it, to say, oh, okay, recognize this? Is this really your heart's desire? No, that's what my mother wanted for me. Or, no, that's what society tells me I should be doing. Is this really your heart's desire? You get to say yes or no, and neither one is wrong. You're just going to tap into the clarity of your true heart's desire.
I think the most important piece is to realize that when we feel that fire, to not be scared of it.
Yes.
So the fire is not there to burn us. The fire is there for us to dance around it, going, I'm so done with this, but it's come up again to let me know that it's releasing, not that we're repeating old patterns anymore.
That it's here.
And it's healing us. You know, all of these things are resurfacing in our lives and showing their face again to really give us the chance to let them go.
Yes.
The heat from the fire is actually powering the generator, so to speak, allowing these things to happen. So it's like the force, the power, you know, electromagnetic being converted to energy, I mean, that whole kind of process to power the change.
And the more we keep breathing, the more air, the more we can stoke that fire to fully let go, not to hold our breaths in terms of fear anymore. We are the creators of this fire. It's really about owning that essence and that power within to grow and connect and move us. So beautiful.
And that's what heals our body, the earth element. Just calling on those elements. Not even calling, it's recognizing them. It's answering the call that they've given to us, actually, in the other way around. Instead of us calling on them, it's us recognizing the call and answering and saying, yes.
There's a supreme holding. There's the supreme holding of the earth underneath us as well. We need to really remember that no matter where we are, we take a breath back, right back down into our human skin and connect with the earth that we are connected to at all times, to allow us to move even more, to allow ourselves to be nourished in a way that most of us
don't know
and
don't remember.
We're still trying to do this in a very singular way.
Yes.
It's like an earthing plug-in.
To that mother of us all.
It's not just the mother, though. It's the masculine and the feminine.
I agree.
It's the masculine and the feminine. And it's the true masculine, not the distorted or the perverted masculine, and not the subdued or subjugated feminine. It's the true masculine feminine coming together in a beautiful dynamic act, dynamic vital movement of yin and yang, of harmony and balance, and the dance of life that brings us a little off balance and a little back on balance and just kind of keeps us flowing and moving forward without the push. No push.
There's something so important for us to remember right now, because so many of us have it ingrained that we think we know what balance is. So we aim with push to achieve this state of balance, when really, with these times of great change within and without, what we need to be embracing to a sense is the wobble.
Yes! I love it. You just there's an old toy, weebles wobble, but they don't fall down. Beautiful. I feel like that's kind of being sealed up. Does anybody else have anything else?
No.
No, feels complete.
Feels complete to me too.
Bringing new moons into our
hearts. New moons in our families. Yeah. So, everybody, breathe in with us and breathe in all of those images. Breathe in the elements. Let's just bring in the elements first, and then we want to bring this all into with the moon and the sun, and we're going to bring this into our. Let's do that first. Let's breathe into the new moon. This energy of this beautiful new moon. And if you can, feel yourself reach or being pulled into the new moon. And then imagine inside the middle of your head. Because in Vedic philosophy, our moon is our hypothalamus. So imagine you can feel the new moon inside your head. And just breathe into that potentiality, that space is just waiting to answer, waiting to respond, waiting for us to respond. And then, even though the sun is not visible to us right now, it is visible in our mind's eye, and it is there always. And so imagine the sun in full brilliance. Feel it. Take in its warmth. And imagine that side by side in your head with the new moon. Imagine that movement of the sun and the moon in your head. And just let it be, and just feel it. Then, feel the water we began with. The swimming in it, the being it, the metamorphosizing of it. Feel it in your body. Take it into every single cell, including your heart. Feel it flowing into your body, through your body, and into the earth. Not leaving your body, just a constant flow of water in, through, and around your body. Then imagine the fire element. Not putting out the water, and the water not putting out the fire. Imagine them dancing through the cells and the fire doing its job and basically transmuting all of those old butts, all of those old hooks, all of those old limitations. And take that into your heart too. And then take a deep breath in and feel the air element. Imagine the air dancing with the fire and the water elements. Bringing in oxygen, expelling waste. And then feel Mother Earth, the earth element, beneath your feet. Feel the earth come in through the bottom of your feet and join and merge and work with these other elements. So the air, it's like the wind element going through the plants on the earth, and it's also in your body, in your lungs, in your cells. The earth is like the dirt that you walk on, and it's the minerals in the earth are in your bones and in your fascia, in your tissue. And the water moves and cleanses in your interstitial fluid, in the fluids of your body, in between the cells and in the cells and through the cells. And all of these elements come together to this amazing structure called you. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.
You're welcome. You're welcome. That was juicy. Okay. So the recording will be available sometime over the weekend, Monday at the latest.
Thank you so much.
You are very welcome. The next new moon is March 30th. Bye, Tanya. 30th.
Yeah. Bye, bye, bye. Good night.
Good night.
So have I missed anything important? or should I say, what important did I miss?
I can't review it for you.
I could listen to the recording too, I guess.
You were there, Andy. Yes, you have to listen to the recording too. Your timing was impeccable, actually. It was perfect.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it was.
Yeah, I listened for 2 or 3 minutes just to try to get a feel for what was going on so, before I said anything.
Thank you. I'm glad you made it.
Me too.
Me too.
You three.
So who are the voices I was hearing? But there was more than just you and Teresa, wasn't there?
There is. It's Crystal.
Hi, Andy.
Hello.
And Norman is coming in now.
I know Norman's voice. So.
But I'm going to turn off the recording now. Okay.